Hooray for you, because you're still alive and you've paid another year of mortgage. To celebrate that you haven't died, we've made you a special porridge. Dance around the bowl, try not to fall in, fishing out the nut, hope that you can swim, hope you reach 100-something-something and enjoy graceful degradation. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I may have taken some liberties in translating.
That sounded like a fresh lyric. Did you make that?
Yes.
Cool. Thanks.
How was your birthday?
No, but it was quiet. It was on a Sunday.
Does that have some special significance, or?
No, just that nothing really happens on a Sunday.
Hmm.
Which can be good.
Did you want the birthday where lots of things happened?
Yeah, of course, a little surprise party couldn't hurt, I guess.
You had a little surprise emoji party on Slack. What do you want?
Yeah, that's true. 2017.
Yeah.
What more can you ask for?
I was going to make a really bleak comment there, but I'm just going to not do that.
Yeah, it's bleak times.
Yeah.
Well, I got to drive a tractor on Saturday. That's the hugest thing that has happened to me in a while, I think.
That's epic. What was the what was the cause of the tractor driving?
As previously mentioned, I have two horses.
Yep.
Right? And there's a track for the horses where you can ride on. It's like a sandy thing. And when you have enough horses riding on this track, it gets sort of hard.
They kind of compress all the earth, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to like freshen it up. You have to stir it up in a way. And the way to do that is to attach a thing to a tractor and drive around on the field.
Like a plow?
Almost like a plow. Sort of a plow. I guess we have the cover art.
I guess. Is this like a special breaking up the earth after horses have ridden on it kind of tool?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Dedicated to just that purpose.
Wow.
And you have to drive in sort of circles and so on to get it nice. It's where it's like the sun garden, just on a bigger scale.
Like in Japanese gardens where you just rake everything. Yeah. But yeah, that sounds nice, except for the noise. I can imagine the noise not being very zen.
It's not too bad, actually.
Okay.
And you have noise-canceling stuff. Mm. Yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah, very fun.
Awesome.
I had never been one of those kids that was very occupied with big machinery and Bob the Builder things, right?
I guess you like small machinery?
Yeah, but this, nonetheless, this ticked something.
Do you think you will be driving a tractor again soon?
Yeah. Probably every weekend, actually.
Are you looking for excuses to drive tractors? Could people hire you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I want to become the tractor whisperer.
I think you probably have to talk quite loud, actually, to be heard over the noise. So it's not really whispering, it's more kind of yelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Something big happened to you as well, like yesterday.
It did?
You got a package.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't have it right here.
You have been waiting for this for ages.
Months. Literally months, yes. My Remarkable arrived. It's pretty cool. I'm sorry there was no video. Other people were too busy, like, A, asking me to go to meetings and stuff, and B, playing with the toy that I had ordered. It's very cool.
Yeah, so this podcast is not as of yet sponsored by the tablet Remarkable.
It should be. They're Norwegian.
Yeah, they are. We made something.
We made something. It's pretty good.
It has batteries and a screen, right?
Right.
but not any screen, a special screen.
Yeah, it's like writing on a Kindle, but it's like being able to draw. It's like a cross between the Etch-a-Sketch and the Kindle. It uses e-ink. It's very cool. And I was lucky enough to get in quite early with the Kickstarter, so I got a massive discount on it. That was the only reason I could really justify buying it. It's really nice. I'm trying to find... I need to, like, work it back into my life, because I used to have a paper notebook all the time, and this is the thing. This is supposed to sort of double as, but without you having to go through and then digitize the paper notebook. So the idea is that you just have this permanent book of sketches. And I got out of the habit of writing in a notebook and into the habit of writing on the wall, not literally on the wall, but like on the whiteboard, which you then have to photograph and you then have to kind of upload, and it's sort of a pain in the ass. So I want to try going back to this. But you can't share this in quite such a same way. The best thing that you can do about this, actually, which I didn't even know, is that I can sync it to an app on my laptop, and then theoretically I can just put the put the laptop on the screen, so share the laptop screen with everybody. I don't know how, I haven't tried updating it in real time, but it syncs pretty much instantaneously. So theoretically I could be drawing on the tablet while people are looking at it on the big screen. But I need to try that.
Hmm. Do you ever go back and look at your notes?
Yeah. Usually the days after, like not a long time after, but if I've written stuff on a whiteboard, it was because I was thinking out the process, and then like whatever I write up as a result of that is me looking at the whiteboard. But it's, I can't, you know, I'm not sitting in the meeting room, so I have to have the photo of the whiteboard. It's just not a thing you do?
Not really.
Hmm. I have to think onto a surface. I can't do it in my head. It's too small.
Well... So I also sort of think on the surface and take many notes and stuff like that, but I seldom go back to them.
But I think that's okay, right?
Yeah.
But having a thing that you can draw on and maybe send to someone else, or maybe save for later, I thought would be cool.
I think Dan Benjamin says something when he's sponsored by Field Notes or something. It's like, I'm not writing it down to remember it later, I'm writing it down to remember it now.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, he should just come and do this for us. Not that we're sponsored, yeah. But yeah.
But I guess that there's a theory there that writing stuff down makes you sort of the recall later better or something?
Yeah, I used to find this. I used to be able to remember what I was doing when I kept a paper diary. Like the kind where appointments diary, you know, for the week. I used to know what the next few weeks looked like because it's much easier to remember. A digital calendar looks the same every week. That has no personality.
Yeah, so welcome to the podcast where we dive into the cultural differences between Britain and Norway.
Yeah, we should get on that. Sorry, it's distracting.
We are pioneers in this niche of podcasting.
Well, yeah. Now all the cool kids are doing it. No, wait, we're the cool kids. The other kids are doing it.
Yeah. Kids that have sort of done this the shtick longer than us.
How's this going?
It's not... okay.
Mm. More coffee.
Can you just talk?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Life in Norway started the podcast. So there's a website called lifeinnorway.net, I think. They talk about life in Norway from the foreigner point of view. And they started a podcast. Hello, Life in Norway podcast. It's nice that you're here. And their first is with Laurelie Desjardins. Am I getting that right? Where she talks, she's a human rights lawyer, but she's worked in Norway for a while and she's quite famous in internet, I guess, Norwegian internet circles for blogging about being a foreigner in Norway. So they had their first episode. But it's nice, you know, that now we're no longer the only podcast where, like, there's a whole movement here. How many more will start? How many more will fail to get sponsorship? And anyway.
Yeah. I think there must be a tension here somewhere.
Attention or attention?
Yeah, both, I guess. Attention for attention.
Because attention makes for good narrative, is that what you're saying?
Mm.
Yeah.
We have to be better than them.
Well, obviously. Well, we've been going longer. We've got more episodes. Does that count?
Yeah, for a while. And perhaps we should rename this podcast to A Toad on the Mountain or something. Or Life at Norway.
For people not following along with that slightly oblique reference, Laura Desjardins' blog is called A Frog in the Fjord. Because, you know, she's French and Norway. Yeah, we should not do that.
And why isn't it lifeinnorway.no?
Because it sounds negative.
It seems to be, available.
Yeah, but, like, you don't want life in Norway, perhaps. No. You want life in Norway. You want a domain squat. That would be evil and wrong, but funny. be good.
And we could have a ceremony where we sort of gave it to them. Okay.
We should probably not do that. Oh, no, because, like, you can't say life in Norway, no. It has to be life in Norway dot yes. Like, it has to be all positive all the time, or at least half the year. We're now in the half of the year when it's all negative, unless you like dark and snow, in which case it's a good time of year. It's not snowing yet, for people who wonder if it's snowing in Norway, like, literally any day of the year. It's raining, though.
Yeah. Last week, we had 19 degrees and no rain for almost the whole week.
Right, for the cycling. Not for you guys, just for the cycling.
Yeah, that was a little bit for us as well, but that was weird. Unexpected. I could appreciate it, but, yeah.
It happens sometimes. Public service announcement, sometimes the weather in Bergen is lovely and better than Oslo. It was wet here.
No, it's wet here, and it's very wet in the southern part of Norway. We have floods and stuff.
Yeah. From the rain or from kind of storms?
Isn't that a false opposite?
No, I meant, is it rainfall that is causing the flooding, or is it storm surge that is causing the flooding? Like, did the water come from the sea, or did it come down from the mountain?
No, it's from the sky.
That was a meteorologically legit thing to say.
You can't have the one without the other, I guess. Or perhaps you can have the one without the other, but can't have the other without the one.
We need to get back on track. Did you bring sugary food?
I did. My good friend, Dr. David Robertson, actually, co-founder of the podcast The Religious Studies Project, which I have been involved with. I built the website years ago. He sent me Scottish butter tablet.
Oh, yeah.
In the mail.
How did it survive? It's not the most robust thing.
Actually, it did survive. I have broken it since. But, yeah. He sent me on another thing as well. But I think my wife has hidden it or something. I did not find it. I will make an effort just to stretch this segment out. Yet some episode.
Did she see what state you were in after the last time around and just went, right, I'm rationing this?
But yeah, perhaps. But I guess it would be too much doing both today.
It would be insane.
I have to eat the whole thing,
you
right?
You do not have to eat the whole thing. You will be insufferable if you eat the whole thing. Not for me, but for your colleagues later on.
So it contains sugar.
First ingredient, yeah. Right?
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the ingredients, it's like, it's ordered after how much it is, right?
Yeah. Does that happen in Norway too? I assume so.
Yeah, I think so. That's the universal standard, isn't it? Sugar, water, condensed milk.
Oh, yeah.
Fondant, which is sugar and glucose and syrup and water. Mm-hmm. Glucose syrup, butter, which contains milk and salt. Milk powder.
I'm disappointed by how low down the ingredients list the butter is, but okay.
So yeah, and it has lots of energy.
Oh yeah, and so will you.
Yeah. May contain traces of nuts. And yeah, it's 0.1 kilos, and it costs 1.56 pounds.
Wow, that's quite a lot. It's a long time since I bought tablet, to be fair. Mind you, it's quite a reasonable size packet. How does it look?
I'm reminded by the Obelix in 2001, the Space Odyssey. Just
you need to bow down before it. A deafening noise will come, but that will just be the rising blood sugar.
It's made by Gordon and Durward. Can you say that in like Scottish?
How's it spelled? That
Gordon
the second word spelled.
And Durward. Durward.
D-U-R-W-A-R-D? Yes. Gordon and Durward.
Durward. Made in Scotland.
Durward? Don't know, I've never heard that name before.
It also says Criff, I think.
Creef. Creef. That's a place. That's a place. That's where they make it, I guess.
Okay. So, it's quite so dense. It's quite hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll try to take a bite of it, I think. How do you eat this thing?
I would break a bit off with my fingers. I would kind of snap a bit off the bar. And then I would break that bit in two and maybe take a bite.
It's very hard.
There you go. That made a good sound.
But this is even... It's still pretty large.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can break that with your fingers or some otherwise, I guess you nibble.
It has a weird consistency. It's like
yeah, that's sugar. It's mostly sugar. It's just like caked sugar.
Yeah. It has this sugar and mostly sugar.
Mm.
It's basically sugar.
Yeah. Is it pleasant? Or just like eating sugar cubes, but without the texture?
I feel like a horse now.
That is why your wife took it away. It's like, right, so, give you the rest of the stuff when you do something good.
Yeah. So when is the occasion for a Scottish tablet?
Well, I'm kind of pressed to say whenever. Honestly, I don't know. Like, I ate this when I was growing up. I haven't lived in Scotland for a long time, and I'm trying to think. Mind you, you could buy it in some places in London, and I think when you desperately need a sugar kick, and you don't really fancy a chocolate bar.
Or a packet of sugar.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw the expression on your face, and now I'm wondering if your teeth hurt.
No. It's more like my soul hurt. But, oh yeah. Oh.
You need to find the Edinburgh Rock. You need to find the Edinburgh Rock.
But you couldn't eat the whole thing.
I wouldn't advise it.
It will take me a week at least to get
That's
this
fine.
Done.
Yeah. That's fine.
Do you offer it to friends or visitors or?
I think often it comes in quite a small packet. I've never like had it at home just sitting around. I think it's one of those dirty kind of buy it on impulse things like buying a chocolate bar. I don't know. Write to us, people in Scotland. Yeah. Tell us how you eat tablet.
And is it always eaten sort of standalone? Are there stuff you can do with it with other foods?
I have just only ever eaten it alone. It reminds me of, is it jaggery? Is that what it's called? There's an Indian thing. Is that what it is? I think that's what it is. I'm just looking this up. Jaggery. Yeah, it's like a kind of unrefined cane sugar product, but it's much sharper in taste. And it's this. It looks almost exactly the same as this. So I had this when I was in India. And you can kind of sprinkle it. It's kind of cakey cane sugar, and it's got that tang that like molasses and treacle have. And you can kind of sprinkle it, kind of break it onto your, crumble it onto your food. Mm. I think that they do other stuff with it as well. You can just use it as a sweetening agent, but it's kind of tangy sweet, whereas this is just like holy crap sweet.
So dear listener, yeah, please send us your favorite Scottish tablet recipe.
Yeah, now I'm wondering like whether there is anyone in Scotland cooking Indian food, because Indian food is quite big in Scotland, whether there's anyone there cooking this and putting tablet in as a sweetening agent into the curries. That would be great, actually.
Thank you, David. It was really cool. It was really cool to get podcast mail.
Yes.
That's the first.
Thank you, David, for the expression on Knut's face while he was eating this. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I don't think... I tried to recall if we have something similar in Norway.
I think Norway, by and large, is a bit more measured in its use of sugar, with certain notable exceptions, like having 7 different kinds of Christmas cake.
But because... by the way, this goes into the category of candy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Firmly.
And Norwegian candy, you have... It's mostly chocolate, I think. Yeah.
What about all the pick and mix?
That's not Norwegian, really.
Okay.
So I guess the consumption of it is Norwegian, but the product itself...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, everything's kind of maybe a little bit chocolate-based, or like pastries. Like, there's a lot of bread stuff, right?
Yeah, because I think you would find some version of sugar and milk or something combination in every country.
What would it be here?
No, that's the question. Right?
Vanilla fudge is big in the pick and mix. Like, I noticed that kind of little squares of fudge are a pick and mix thing here. Yeah. But I don't know if fudge is really a thing that gets made here. I think you just like boil the milk into Brunost and then that's it.
Yeah. Because I think Denmark is big on candy. They make the stuff, yeah.
What kinds?
If of course it sounds French, but the bonbons thing.
Bonbon is just like French for candy, right? So like what's the Danish one?
I think there's a Danish sort of brand called that. And I feel like all the sort of candy culture in Norway is imported from Denmark.
With like a surcharge.
Because they have Danish licorice.
Right. Is the licorice here not kind of original to Norway? Is it actually like a Danish or a Swedish thing?
Yeah, I think so. Mm.
Licorice is huge. Maybe we've talked about this before, but licorice is like a big thing in Scandinavia. Really big. We've talked about tablets and we've talked about tablet.
Indeed.
And now I'm wondering if we... Yeah, I can't do it. There's not a third tablet.
It was 2 tablets.
Yeah.
With the 10 laws.
Hmm?
On the mountain. From the mountain.
Indeed.
Descended from the mountain.
Yes. With the tablet on the mountain blog. I don't know. Tablet's not an animal. That would work better. Do you want to talk about Norway?
Sure. I read for your notes.
Didn't make any sense.
And yeah, but I feel more and more like I'm not the right person for this podcast when it comes to representing Norway.
Well, that's okay. I don't feel representative of the UK either, so that's fine. Like having dispensed with that kind of flimsy premise, just, you know, Go for
so
it.
We are the first podcast that admits to not being a representative or have any idea of what's going on, really.
Yeah.
About Norway or whatever.
Something disclaimer and boilerplate. Having said that, yeah, pitch in, go.
You had a visitor.
Yeah, we had a visitor from the States. One of the nice things about having moved here is that people are even more likely to come visit in a way because they're like, oh, I've never been to Norway. I should come. I've never been to Oslo. So they come to Norway, and sometimes I try and encourage as many of them as possible to do other things that are not Oslo, like to get on the Bergensbana and like go and see the West Coast and stuff. They don't always have time. But the most recent visitor was from the States, and obviously we talked a lot about the political situation there, which I think she has found very hard over the last few months and very hard to rationalise. And we talked quite a lot about healthcare costs, which are punitive in the States. And even if you have health insurance, it doesn't mean that you're covered. You can still be on the hook for like tens of thousands of dollars. And it's always a really painful conversation, but I think it was even more painful now that I live here. Because I was just acutely aware of how much kind of, well, just move to Norway then is like a that's fine for Chris sort of solution. And I was very uncomfortable in the privilege of living in such a comfortable, wealthy, organized, socialist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera country. Maybe more than I have been at all since moving here.
So now the question is, Knut, why don't you feel more uncomfortable living here?
Well,
being born here?
Not necessarily. I want to know, like, if you grow up with it, it's just normal, right?
Yeah, it is. But I know the feeling because I had it, especially in when I traveled to conferences and so on when I was in university.
Mm.
Because there you met students and colleagues from abroad that had a bit of a more of a struggle to stay in university and in their sort of PhD program and so on compared to yourself.
You mean financially? So like what were they?
Yeah, that as well.
Okay.
And politically perhaps and so on.
What countries were these people from?
From all over, everything from the States and from eastern part of Europe, India, you name it.
Was that the first time that you'd really sort of been aware of how privileged you had been, being here?
Yeah, in a way. At least in sort of the first person.
I was supposed to like reading about it kind of on the intellectual level.
Yeah.
But actually experiencing it. Okay. So what do you do with that as a Norwegian? What do you do with that kind of uncomfortable realization that actually you're sitting on top of a pretty high mountain and a lot of other people are way, way down there and probably don't enjoy all the things that you're enjoying and don't even think about maybe day to day?
I guess you get embarrassed in a way.
Hmm. Well, that's a very relatable response, I guess.
And perhaps a bit more quiet.
In person with those people, you mean? Like, let them talk, or...?
Yeah, something like that. Or, yeah.
Hmm.
Or more, you are more checking your privilege, I guess.
Hmm. As it's now become fashionable to say. But no less relevant. Is this a widely shared sense of awkwardness about being Norwegian?
So here is where I fail to be the representative of Norwegian.
Okay.
Well, I guess in higher education, well, not even there. I would perhaps venture to say... not as much.
Okay.
But it depends. But as, for example, tourists, I would think not so much. But then again, you have an amount of Norwegians that work in NGOs and are very aware of the sort of the difference in privilege and so on. So I guess you have both. But in terms, if you look at the national discourse, perhaps, what we talk about, what we sort of spend time focusing at, it's even difficult to say there, because we have a history of sort of wanting to be a positive and democratic and sort of an agent in the world that helps out, right?
Right.
We even took pride in that. Well, at least before.
Before what?
Before the douchebag government.
Yeah. Well, Norway still awards like the Peace Prize and stuff like that, right?
Still even them or still even our Prime Minister have some sort of hunch to be in the world and of the world and spreading positive things.
Yeah.
So
I noticed that a coalition of senior politicians, though not from all parties, sent a letter to Catalonia this week as a sort of like to condemn what had been happening, and not that people were looking for self-determination, but the other thing, the sort of police actions. And that struck me as a very Norwegian thing to do, is to sort of mediate, I guess, and to just go, whoa, hang on, people should live peacefully.
Yeah. And our history with mending with world affairs, it's sort of both, I guess. I guess we almost did something in the Middle East a good while ago.
Almost?
Well, perhaps I'm a bit unfair, but yeah, like the Oslo Treaty and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole thing in Sri Lanka, that was, I guess, a fail.
I don't know enough about Norway's involvement in that. I shall have to read. Yeah. My one half of my landlords went to the Middle East on peacekeeping mission, as I understand it. I'm not sure what he does today, but he has travelled quite a lot because of doing that. It seems quite a Norwegian thing to do. It seems almost like the kind of equivalent of when Americans would routinely kind of join the Peace Corps and go and do useful stuff around the world. It's that kind of... So that's a very... that's the American equivalent of a dugnad, right? It's doing something like that.
I guess.
Yeah. So the thing is, right, I live here, I read the news, I read a lot of overseas news written in Norwegian because I want to know what's happening in the UK and the rest of the world. And there's a lot of kind of, good fucking God, what is happening in the world kind of stuff, which seems to border on incomprehensible to Norwegians. I mean, I think, to be fair, I think if any year, there's probably not a nation in the world almost that isn't writing, good God, what is happening kind of headlines at the moment. But it seems to come very naturally from the Norwegian pen, I guess. Sorry, that was half a thing and not a question. I guess I'm trying to understand, how did Norwegians, or do Norwegians even address this sort of this massive privilege that they have day to day? Or is it just not a thing that you can think about every day?
Well, I think that's the definition of privilege. You don't have to think about it every day. You just live in it.
Right.
And sort of take it for granted.
What happens, does it happen that occasionally holes appear and people go, oh, crap, it's really awful out there?
Yeah, I guess, but it's even more interesting when the holes appear within the country.
Sure, because it's not perfect, right?
Yeah, like the whole thing with homeless people and where to put them, and so on, and people that are difficult to fit in, right? To fit in the system, the public school that everybody have sort of have to attend, and so on. And the health services and so on and so on. So the sort of the not backside, but sort of the other side of having a pretty broad welfare system is when people don't fit in that schema, what then?
Right. Which happens in every society, as far as I understand. Like, you're always going to have some people that fall outside of that. And I guess a measure of a civilized society is how they handle that, how they treat it, how they judge it.
Right. So
how does Norway score?
I don't know really compared to other places, but it's perhaps more interesting to see what kind of reaction it is, because some places, they sort of allow for a ghetto or sort of areas where people that has fallen outside of the system can do their thing. But you don't even have that. So I guess Norway, there's a tendency to try to make these people invisible in a way, in different ways. Either like structurally in how we describe them, or which labels we give them and so on, or sort of where we move them. Or say that, you know, you can't be here on the street, or you can't be here and you have to go to another area, and constantly shifting and so on.
Is it illegal to kind of live on the street in Norway?
I think it's illegal to sort of squat or to sleep in a public space.
Hmm.
I'm not sure about the legality, but you will be sort of moved. So you have to go.
Hmm. I'm just trying to think about the UK. Living in London, people would generally get moved on. And then there was a very kind of very awkward cleaning up before the Olympics. I can find some news stuff on that. But when the London Olympics was on in 2012, I think there was a sort of a very visible attempt to reduce the number of people kind of sleeping rough in the centre or whatever. For, you know, any reason you can imagine, I guess, like, we don't want people to think this happens here, you know, the kind of the fascist version, or the kind of the sort of totalitarian thing. These people shouldn't exist. Like, there's no real good reason for it, but we're embarrassed that we have homeless people in this ostensibly first world country.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure every country would have homeless people for whatever reason, but it's complicated.
Yeah, and homeless people in Norway, I guess they fall into two categories. Either it's addicts, or it is people from Eastern Europe that comes here. And they are usually what you can call the beggars that sit on the street and ask for money.
There's a sizable Romanian population in Oslo. I don't know about Bergen.
The same.
I'd like to stick up a hand for mental illness also, which is another reason that people find themselves living rough.
Yeah, but not, you wouldn't find that much of them on the streets, because they are usually in some sort of institution or so on.
Okay, that wouldn't be the case in the UK necessarily.
Yeah. So, but the addicts, that's a black spot, I guess, on the Norwegian society.
Can I just qualify this, because I know what you mean, but saying the addict sounds incredibly judgmental.
Yeah.
I know where you're coming from, because we talked about this before. But
what's the politically correct term?
I don't know. I don't know. People with drug and alcohol problems, I guess.
Yeah. Because, that goes to my point of how we tackle. Because in Norway, you would call them, I guess this is my word of the week, you would call them narkomana.
Right, which is a pretty awful word.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty similar to addicts in both connotation and meaning. So, and this term, you will find that in the newspapers and so on. It hasn't reached the level of having a stigma that this is derogative or and so on, even though it is.
Mm.
And that's part of the problem, because we treat them as criminals because they often have to do crime to cover their expenses and so on. So you got this mix of people who have this tendency and problem, and with that, I guess, many other problems. And they are getting involved with other types of networks and so on. So it's a huge mess, and we don't know what to do with it. And we have tried to put them in jail and sort of move them around and ignore them and so on, but that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
I think the UK struggles with exactly the same set of problems.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be convinced that criminalizing it is the way forward.
But at least there are some that try to raise the debate that perhaps we should take another stance.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I linked to this here, but we can certainly put a link in. We might have to Google Translate it, I guess. That was a good piece that you sent me a while ago about like trying to move past this sort of criminalize and punishment approach to people who've fallen outside of quote unquote the system, whatever quote unquote the system is.
Yeah, but I think perhaps it's more possible now, because for a good while, doing drugs, that was kind of, you were evil, you were morally corrupt doing drugs or something.
Has the perspective moved on?
I think so. I think it has been. I don't know if it's better, really, but perhaps a bit. It has moved to from being something morally not good or sort of bad behavior to be understood as some sort of a sickness or a thing that you really can't really help. Or has some secondary reason, like a bad upbringing or difficult family relationships and so on. So it has sort of moved into the category of a sickness, something that has to be treated, right?
Medical sphere. My husband was reading me a really, really interesting thing from Wikipedia the other day about... is it a protein or something that leads to the expression of a protein, which is strongly implicated in all forms of addictive behaviour. And it's not necessarily the case that if you're born with this, you will sort of manifest addictive behaviour. But I think when it's something about when that thing is expressed and the conditions are right, then you're kind of going to be in the throes of that. But again, it's kind of complicated, because if you just medicalize a thing, like if you just say, okay, this is now a quote-unquote medical problem, which seems like a definite improvement on just saying this is a moral problem and you are a moral failure if you don't, if you're not able to comply with societal norms. The downside of that is that it doesn't recognize all the causal factors, like someone who might become dependent on drugs or alcohol through a set of socioeconomic factors, which are caused by the fact that the system is inflexible. And that really isn't a medical problem. That's actually a sociological problem. I guess there are phases of this stuff, right? Like, probably you can go back and look through history. I've no idea about this, but I imagine there's a history of science or history of something approach to this, where you go, well, first it's viewed as a moral problem, and then it's viewed as kind of like a medical problem, and then it's viewed as a complex societal problem with like complex systemic issues, and then something else. I don't know. But I don't know how far down that path we are. I would say Norway seems like it's handling this. Do you know, actually, I think Norway's handling this stuff more maturely than the UK, because the UK is, well, we're having a period of government where people are extremely judgmental about everything, and right-wing, and not disposed to be flexible or to admit that the system creates problems.
Yeah, I guess our right side is very much occupied with being judgmental about Muslims, so they sort of take all the flack.
Yeah.
So don't be a Muslim addict.
Whoa. Man, this got really bleak.
Yeah, and I guess this is why I also wanted you to see August 31st, Oslo, August 31st.
Mm, which I still haven't, but I should. Was that Joachim Trier or was that someone else?
It was one of the Triers.
Mm.
I think it's Joachim Trier.
Is there a trio of Triers? That would be cool.
I think actually there is.
Nice.
I don't know if they are really related, but...
Hmm.
And they make movies, so... And one of them is Danish.
Yes.
Perhaps known.
Yes. I think definitely known.
That was a very serious section.
Occasionally we do this.
Hmm.
Not too often.
I got feedback, by the way.
You did?
Yeah, I think you did as well, but... apparently, not everybody appreciates the amount of air, the dead air in this podcast.
And this is after editing. Good God.
So, well, I guess we have to talk faster and think faster and I can't do this.
Yeah, I can't always do it at like 7 in the morning. Sometimes the conversation is just going to go at the pace the conversation goes at. That's, yeah. If you want like a highly professionally, really sharp edited podcast, go and listen to, 99% Invisible or something like that.
It's not 99, it's 99 Invisible. I'm Rowan Mars.
Oh, he has the world's best voice, though. After yours, obviously. Sorry, long... Diplomatic pause.
Right. Should we swift through the follow-up, if that's even a verb?
It can be a verb now. In the Apple development world, I'm sure that's probably a verb. Oh, that, yeah, I swifted it.
So, yeah, we got a listener question.
Yeah.
Listener question.
Was that
question
a
question from a listener? Or a question for some random person that found a web form?
Nah, this is Rachel. Rachel is a real person. I know Rachel.
I got this feeling that everyone who writes in, you know them.
Or you do. That's it. Well, there's only like 5 people listening to this podcast, so it's not hard to figure out who's who.
But where did listener Rachel write this string of text which she sent over the internet?
I believe she wrote it on into our web form, I think. You tell me, you got the email. She probably went to smalldifferences.fireside.fm and wrote into the contact form, and you can do this too. Please do. Please write to us.
I don't think there's even a captcha.
I don't think there is. Should we get one? It's very inaccessible.
Inaccessible. Think we can.
Yeah, I don't think we should. There are many reasons why that's a bad idea. Mm.
So, yeah, while you called up the spam bot, perhaps we should read the question.
Go ahead.
Hi there. For those of us who are going to visit Norway shortly, please could you suggest some of the typical Norwegian things we should do? I don't mean tourist places to visit, but archetypally. Norwegian ways to spend time. Example grata. Is there a particular coffee we should drink? Cake we should try? Things we should do on a Sunday, Saturday? Sweets, etc. Or etc. I'm sorry. And so on.
Uh-huh. Well, over to you, as our native Norwegian guide. What are some archetypally Norwegian things to do to spend time? I think they're here over a weekend. I think it might be a long weekend.
Well, but first you have to buy some sort of living space, a house, a flat, and then you have to fix it up.
Yeah, you should buy the house on Finn.no.
Get perhaps 2 cars. drive them around, and eat some tacos on Friday evening.
It's the Norwegian dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are tacos a thing on a Friday?
Why is that even a question?
I just want to know. How did it start? I need the origin story.
That's another episode. Right. We haven't time for that.
But okay.
I guess it would be as difficult to answer this if we switched Norway here with the UK, I guess.
Yeah.
So perhaps you should try to answer this.
Hmm.
Because you have the really typical thing to do as a Norwegian, and you have the quotation marks typical thing to do for Norwegians.
Which answer do you think I'm going to give?
I think you will give the quotation marks answer, because the real answer is really boring. You don't want to do that, because that's just hanging around in your house.
I was actually going to say on a Sunday, a thing to do, because all the shops are closed on a Sunday and there's like limited options for what you can do, is you have to go for a walk. And you can go for a walk in a park, or you can get on some transport and go out of town and go for a walk in a forest.
You can rent
a bike and, I guess, cycle around a little bit. But I think being outdoors on a Sunday seems to be a very, very Norwegian thing, so I would encourage that. I think if you're staying in an Airbnb and you have access to an oven, you should go to a supermarket and buy a Grandiosa pizza. But you should also buy extra toppings, because you have to mod your Grandiosa pizza. So by putting extra things on it. If you're going to mod a pizza... Well, I was going to say, if you're going to mod a pizza, I know what we put on at home, but that's probably non-standard. What do you do?
There are some official mods you can do. It's a fårepølse. It's one mod.
What kind of sausage?
For?
Like lamb?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty random. Is it like a salami, or is it like a...
It's almost like a salami, just it's lamb or sheep.
Hmm.
While salami, I guess that's pork.
Okay. Nice. What else?
There isn't really something else.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, just... I guess you can take extra cheese on it.
Of what
if
kind?
If you want to ruin your mouth, but what kind? The kind you have.
Whatever is in the fridge. Is
There's
it okay to put Jarlsberg?
There's only two Norwegian cheeses you can have. It's
Norvegia or Jarlsberg, right?
Yeah. And you have the third one, but we don't really talk about that.
What? Is it Kraftkar?
No,
it's
Synnøve.
Oh, yeah.
Kraftkar. Yeah. If you want
that's
to
the fancy one.
Norwegian thing.
Right.
Putting Kraftkar on the Grandiosa, that's...
Yeah, that's just messed up, right? I like the idea of hipster modding.
I think Bourdieu would turn in his grave or something.
something Kierkegaard, I guess.
So, yeah. But this is a thing. I think even Norwegians go to tourist places. At least those who are in nature and of nature. But even in Oslo, you have Norwegians that goes to Vigelandsparken or to the museums and so on.
Yeah. I think generally on Sundays, absorbing nature and or culture seem to be big things to do. On Saturdays, people seem to shop, which I think is just, you know, like the kind of Western disease now.
And I don't think Norwegians go and look on sort of take pictures of the castle and so on, perhaps. But,
yeah.
It's hard to go wrong, I think.
Hmm. They're probably Instagramming their meals, though, right?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, there you go.
Or doing yoga on mountaintops or something.
Yeah, you did that. But there was no photographic proof, unfortunately. Otherwise, that could have been the cover art.
Did I do yoga?
Well, didn't I? Thought you did. Did you go up the mountain with people and like make a human pyramid or something? Well, you were taking the photo, but...
Oh, that was just on Fløyen. But I guess so. But that isn't yoga. That's just...
That was just going up the hill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go up a hill.
Yes.
That's a pretty typical Norwegian thing to do.
Hmm.
So, I'm not feeling very helpful here, but...
I've got one more thing.
Okay.
I think in the kind of particular coffee we should drink, which is what Rachel asks about, this actually ties into something I was going to mention anyway. Do not drink espresso-based coffee. So a thing that's happened to me, which I didn't really mean to happen, is that I've basically stopped drinking espresso-based coffees, which were almost the only kind of coffee you could buy in the UK if you bought coffee out, because Starbucks have been extremely effective in making everyone, you know, just turning the whole market into espresso-based. But in Norway, it's really, really common to have, like, drip or filter coffee, which is called just normal coffee, vanlig kaffe. And I don't really like espresso-based coffee anymore. It's too harsh. It's too burnt. So ask for the kind of the regular coffee, normal coffee, I guess, or coffee of the day. Dagens kaffe is often what it's called. Drink that. You can even ask for milk in it if you want, and they don't mind.
Yeah, and now we don't know where Rachel is going to. Is it Oslo? Is it Bergen? Is it Tromsø? But
they're coming to Oslo, I think.
Yeah, and what kind of coffee places in Oslo should she check out?
Well, I guess Kaffe Brenneria is one of the obvious chains. There's Stockloths, which is also extremely good. I'm going to forget them all here. There's a really nice one whose name I can't remember. Don't go to Espresso House.
Yeah, you can turn it around. So don't go to Espresso House or Starbucks.
Yeah, you do not need to go to Starbucks. And in fact, probably shouldn't. Yeah, there's a few indie places as well. Tim Vendelboer is really good. Anyway, we've talked about coffee before. We don't need to beat that one to death. But yeah.
And I guess they should have, perhaps, if they go to some sort of place to eat out, perhaps a place with the well, everything in Norway has $2 signs, but relative to Norway, $2 signs. Get some sort of a fish meal, I guess.
Yeah. Any particular fish?
Well, salmon or cod or. Mm. Yeah.
The cod in Norway is phenomenally good.
Any fish, actually.
Yeah. It's true. Any fish.
Yeah.
The other thing one could do would be to go to a hotel and eat a big buffet breakfast. You don't actually have to be staying at the hotel like all the Scandics and Ton hotels and stuff. You can just rock up and pay, by British standards, a slightly frightening amount of money, but like eat literally all the food you can put in your stomach. And then you get the whole kind of Scandinavian buffet breakfast traditional thing, which is, it's a thing. And very, very good. And puts pretty much all British buffet breakfast to shame.
Yeah. Good advice. Hmm. So you can even try to not pay.
That doesn't seem very Norwegian at all. That doesn't seem Norwegian. I think Norwegians understand that like the system works because everyone contributes. Socialism.
And because everyone contributes, you can take some liberty. Then you perhaps can have a close encounter with Norwegian...
law enforcement.
Yeah.
Or at least the hotel manager.
And even they are really nice. So, yeah. Yeah,
that seems to be enough to go on with. We'll maybe add to that if more thoughts come.
I don't know Rachel, but do you think she's satisfied with our answer?
I suspect she was hoping for more obscure things, but I've got to be honest, I'm not sure there are that more obscure things. If you must go shopping, I can give you a very limited colour palette to buy from.
You have to buy a bunad, I guess.
yeah, that's going to cost.
And I guess you have to try the various kinds of milk chocolate.
Yes, Freya milk chocolate is very important to try. With hazelnuts in, preferably. Mm. If you're going shopping, you can buy things in a certain range of colours. So you can buy things in any colour in Norway, obviously. Like, it's not, not the Soviet Union in the 80s. But we do have all the colours. But if you wanted to buy something to wear, I would suggest that you bought something that was either grey or black or white or olive green or currently mustard yellow. You could buy something that was kind of powder pink, baby pink. And that's probably about it. What are you looking for?
I'm just trying to come up with more stuff for Rachel to do or taste or.
We can come back to it. This can be a running section. I don't think they're coming for like another month or something. So.
Bring a shovel.
Bring a shovel for the snow.
Yeah.
Is shoveling snow a Norwegian weekend pastime in the winter?
Of course.
What if you live in the urban areas? You don't have to do that, presumably.
You also need a shovel to chase the polar bears.
Yeah, yeah. There's some of those wandering around the streets now. So, yeah, you can't be too careful. It's true.
We have to tie the knot. No, we don't have to tie the knot.
Hello? What?
Close it up.
Yeah. Well, this is some kind of surgery
close
metaphor.
The bag.
Oh, I've just gone to all kinds of...
We're not going to have a podcast. My words...
Yeah. Should we do Word of the Week? This seems like a great time to do Word of the Week while you're struggling with like basic kind of concepts. You mentioned this earlier, and it's funny. I wanted to talk about Norwegian words for disadvantage. So you use the word backside, which I find charming, and I'm pretty sure you do this on purpose. In Norwegian, if you're talking about advantages and disadvantages, often the word used to describe the disadvantage is like the backside, which is in English would be the downside. But you can also say disadvantage in English, obviously. So in Norwegian, you would say fordel as advantage and baksida as disadvantage. But you can also say ulempe. And I don't really know where that comes from etymologically, actually, to mean disadvantage. What is it? I'm too lazy to Google this.
So, well, no, I have to Google it, I guess.
Yeah. That's what you're here for. That's what this podcast is about.
It's from Middle Low German. Unlimpe. And...
Gonna need more than that.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. It doesn't really say.
We was robbed.
Ungelimp, Buxworth, Toller, Anglo-Saxon Dictionary. This must be good.
I still don't know.
No explanation, but there are loads of sort of primary sources.
Okay. Well, that was surprisingly unsatisfactory. All right. I came up with a third Norwegian word for disadvantage over the weekend. Drøbak.
like the city?
Yeah. But it just sounds like drawback. It made me laugh. So I think we should all start using that from now on.
So now we lost all our listeners in Drøbak.
Yeah, sorry guys. It was fun. It's not a big place. If we have one listener, I'd be astounded.
So one listener lost, that means nothing to you?
That's like 20% of our audience right there.
All right.
Did you have you had a word of the week earlier?
Yeah, I had.
Cultural picks?
Not really.
We have no culture. We talked about like sort of drug and alcohol exclusion type stuff.
Yeah, that's like a good cultural pick. Drugs and alcohol.
The exclusion
type
stuff.
It's a good
stuff.
Week yeah. For that.
Yeah. Well, you still didn't have your British cultural pick of the week, but that would have been apt. The one that you had for like...
Fascism is my British...
harsh but fair, yeah. All right, I'll take that.
No, you moved, so you don't have to anymore.
If only it were that simple.
Do you have a cultural pick of the week?
British middle class guilt, I guess. Is there a Norwegian? Yeah.
And the remarkable.
And the remarkable, yeah. Yeah, you just got that in there one more time.
Tablet.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a phrase that is like middle class guilt in Norwegian that means basically that, but maybe extended to being Norwegian generally?
Don't think so.
That's interesting. Well, like you said, you know, the first rule of privilege is don't talk about privilege. Don't be aware of privilege.
What's 2 weeks called? Like, is that a fortnight?
It is a fortnight. Where did that come from?
Because we are doing this again in 2 weeks.
Right.
And now we can say, see you in a fortnight. Mm. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's almost like Game of Thrones-ish.
I used that word in front of an American colleague and he was like, what? How long is that? What? Not Game of Thrones.
George
Fortnite.
George R. R. Martin, he uses fortnight every second sentence, I guess. And he writes stuff like, they broke the fast. In the morning, they broke the fast.
Wow, old school. Thank thee.
So my cultural pick of the week is the A Song of Ice and Fire book series by this lesser known author called George R. R. Martin. The first book, of course, it's called A Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You may have heard of it.
No, it's pretty obscure. I don't think anyone's interested in that. Good luck eating all the sugar.
Yeah. I guess so. I will use a fortnight to consume this product.
There's a like recommended daily maximum dose or an LD50 possibly of that stuff. Tread carefully.
Mm-hmm. Right, insert, well, you have to have inserted the outro music a couple minutes ago.
Right, it's playing right now.
Yeah. Have you grown to like it yet?
I find myself singing it sometimes after I've been editing. And then I hate myself. And then I hate you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Ha det bra.
Takk for at du hørte på. Ha det bra.